Today we are going to discuss what are you doing about it. So I don't know who was here yesterday and who was not. You were here. Did you do your homework?
No. You mean?
No.
Are you talking to her?
Partly, I think.
Partly, you think.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find?
Well,
could you speak a little bit more loudly for the microphone?
I think that I'm too far removed from my childhood by years to remember exactly, mm-hmm. you know, some of the things that my parents might have said to me that were negative. I don't have any negative feelings now about what they might have said. I feel as if I had a very supportive, I feel sure though that there were times that they, you know, would have said, don't do that because I was a girl.
Yes, right.
But it had no lasting, mm-hmm. it made no lasting impression on me that I feel that I was inhibited as a result of, I really did, of that. I did think about that. I tried mm-hmm. to remember.
Or somebody later on, somebody in school or in your grown-up years, that you were continually discouraged? Until you decided, I'm not going to do it anymore. Yesterday, I was discussing it later on, after we had discussed, girls don't climb trees, girls don't play with soldiers, well, boys shouldn't either, in my opinion, and boys don't play with dolls. I came up with a solution that, why should boys not play with dolls? Boys are eventually going to be fathers, and can't a boy be a better father for having played with dolls? Can't a boy be a better physician for having played with dolls? And the little girl that was supposed to come in from playing in the mud and getting herself all dirty because she needs to dry the dishes. But the dishes are probably dropping off in the sink anyhow. But that mud which she is playing out there with, that little girls don't do anyhow because they don't get their nice dresses dirty, was probably just the right consistency after a rain. So she couldn't make mud cakes and maybe a mud frog, a mud bunny. And continually being told, you don't do that, you get all dirty, and little girls don't get dirty. After a few years, when the subject of doing something, or even Play-Doh, whatever we've got, it comes up, there is this strong impression, girls don't do that. And maybe there by the wayside went a marvelous sculptress, right? Or, well, you name it, we went through a few things yesterday. And afterwards, I was talking with a woman who was here and felt that she had not really any such memories from her childhood. And it seems that I did not emphasize enough. I know I mentioned it, but it probably was a fast sentence, or anybody thereafter that would have kind of rubbed it in later on. The very frequently experienced problem came up. There's so many who know well how to play the piano. And if it's the same clique, the same group, the same church all the time, who are the ones who are always asked to do it? The same ones usually. Why is it? We are not exactly verbally saying to the ones who are not being asked that you're not good. We are not saying, hey, she is so much better, let's take her. But just ignoring them, we are giving them the impression, I remember I was playing, let's say, at the Vacation Bible School, and obviously my playing isn't good enough, or why don't they ever ask me? And so there are a few chosen ones whose talent is kind of nurtured along, not in that they are given scholarships, but they're given opportunity all the time, until they know that any time somebody is needed, they are right there. They don't even get their hand up. They are right up front. What do you want me to play? While the other ones look around, how I guess she is there again or they are there again, I better not even lift my hand. And if this keeps on in enough settings, you know what's going to happen? They'll stop practicing at home. What's the use? There are more important things. If that starts at the age of, let's say, what is a good age to develop a good pianist talent? Let's see, 10, 11? Mm-hmm. So at 10 and 11, there are all those evenings where the parents come and where the older brothers and sisters and grandparents and everybody comes, and you've got a recital in school or wherever else. And you can only have so many on the program. And I don't know if teachers are to blame or not. I know I could probably easily fall into the trap. All that would have to happen for me to fall into the trap is having one choose a piece by Beethoven. Without wanting to discredit anybody else's talent, the next time I'd probably think of that person first before I'd think of anybody else. Totally unintentional, right? I think we have to really watch what we are doing because it's so easy to get discouraged. I know one who doesn't practice piano very much anymore. Probably for similar reasons. One of my younger daughters who got hold of my music, said, would you please play it for me? And for the, I haven't played it in 25 years. Oh, just so I can hear what it sounds like. She knows me quite well. After listening to me for an hour, perfecting it, she'd never read it. She'd pick it up by ear and she, without rehearsing, she'd play it just perfectly. But she doesn't anything with it because the church which we were attending had a few select leadership families who had quite some standing and who gave their children all the musical education they could have. There wasn't a chance for my daughter, who was really playing quite well at that time. And so she gave it up. And from being reminded of this yesterday, I became aware again that we can just by ignoring somebody, making somebody forget about talents, okay. Anything that comes back from what we were discussing yesterday, I know you must have at least spent 5 minutes thinking about what we discussed. Nobody.
Well, it seems to me that God works for our lives wholeness, the whole being,
yes?
And often in our human way, we don't consider the whole.
Could you speak a bit more loudly? I have difficulties. I've got perfect hearing, and I'm sure it will not come through on tape.
Well, it seems to me that God wants for our lives wholeness, every facet. In our human way, we often just either center it on one
Yes, right. One of the things that, if you remember, anybody who was here, there are some people, we see somebody doing something awkwardly, and what do? We ape them, right? You don't do that. Or we exaggerate something. Or we're in a good mood and we start really clowning, right? Or we begin to enjoy some funny poetry and do something with that. Or I remember something that I did at home that was totally, totally unacceptable. I was all the sons and all the daughters, oldest and youngest, all rolled into one. It was terribly lonely. I had teddy bears and dolls. And Sunday was a day when I was never allowed to play outside. Well, I shared yesterday, I've got one of the world's wildest imaginations. So I put one of my teddy bears there. And since teddy bears have got ears and can hear, you see something out aloud, and I carry on a conversation with my teddy bear. And I was saying something, and the teddy bear would answer back, of course. And I would say something, and the teddy bear would agree with me, or it would disagree with me. And I made up stories. We did all. We went for walks together. We lived through whole fairy tales together. You know what happened? My mother told me to stop it. What if our landlady was in? She always thought she was listening. What should she think of you? Okay, this is not anything I said yesterday, but I'm just trying to, since nobody feels anything coming to them since yesterday or since those few sentences. No, these things actually happened to me. Well, fortunately, I recovered. I recovered quite well. And when my children were of the age that they were ready for fairy tales, when we were all through with Grimm's fairy tales, Andersen's fairy tales, Bechstein's fairy tales, House fairy tales, I would just sit there and begin to tell a story once upon a time when it would help, when it did help to just wish for something and the wish found its fulfillment. There lived a king and a queen in a beautiful castle on the top of a tall, tall mountain. They begin to see the castle. And after a while, when you think about persons, they take on life of their own. And what you really do with this imagination that God has given you, you follow them on their adventures. Problem is to bring it to an ending that will allow the children to sleep. And we ended the evening by my telling them a fairy tale and reading them a Bible story and kissing them all good night and make sure they went nicely tucked in. And then I'd go into the other room and play something real harmless on the piano that didn't take too much practicing because I knew I wasn't good at it. And that was the end of the evening. But does that ring a bell? Doing something that, what shall people think? Well, God has given us a talent, like clowning. Oh, we were mentioning that yesterday. Does anybody remember? Now, is there anything wrong with clowning? Mm-hmm. Clowning is a delightful way for extremely talented persons to make us laugh at the things that would normally make us cry. They bring out a humorous element, or they exaggerate something. It may also ring a bell, or it may not, but it's delightful to see a person. And I was privileged to see a clown when a friend had invited me to Florida. Clowns are doing acrobatic acts that the water ski team was doing, and I was watching him, and I was sitting there like this. Now realize, I don't do any such wild things, I do other wild things, but if you are on your skis and you want to jump, you get up here and as the momentum comes, you are propelled from that run, like broad jump, right? And here a water clown made it up to there, balanced himself with the team going. This was not in standing still, and he balanced himself there, kind of teeter-tottering. A fantastic balance act. And then, I watched every movement. I was just about praying, Lord, please protect him up there. And then, from this standstill, he went. And he went quite a ways, and when he fell in a comical way, you know that this too was rehearsed because he was perfectly in control. He did it for funny effect. To be a clown is a real talent. But how many times, if anyone here has had that talent, how many times were you discouraged? Don't do it. What should people think? Or don't you have anything better to do? All those things that through the years can really discourage us. And there's so many artistic talents which we totally, totally lose because others are better or others are encouraged more and we are discouraged in whatever, not necessarily parental setting, but wherever we are because let's do such and such now. Oh, come, put that stuff away. And how many times is this attitude necessary until you think, oh well, let's leave it be. Not everybody. I said, well, I I recovered beautifully from being discouraged to talk with my teddy bear and have him talk back at me. But you see, it's not only telling stories. How about acting, actors and actresses? Now, I grew up in an environment where this was not socially acceptable. Unfortunately, God also gave me a good element of rebellion and stubbornness, without which I'm sure I wouldn't have survived. There are so many things which can easily get discouraged. Now, I hope, in the meantime, you have found a few things in your own lives from that age on, or just fairly recently, where you realize, hey, maybe I've got it. Or something you did here. Ever tried pottery? Today I made my second little squirrel, and I made a mug with a bird and a leaf on it, and it looks quite nice. Everybody has thought it looks nice. Have you tried some of these things around here? Did you discover talents? Now, see, that's another thing. And that's the right now. We don't have to go back in your personal history if that is somehow because of maybe not having been here yesterday or altogether too far-fetched. But all right, now you've done something here. For what? Kicks and fun. Isn't that what we call it? Okay. Now, maybe you found there is something, hey, I'd like to do it. Okay, question, has God given you a talent? If so, after you're out here and back into the normal rat race, what are you going to do with it? Is God telling you something that he has given you that you should make part of your personality? Something that could be fully yours, because you are unique. Every one of us is unique. And it's in situations like this where we discover totally new talents in ourselves. If it only comes from, hey, did you try that? You'd like it. I don't think so. Well, come, just try it. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm glad I did it. Now you're going to go back. I'm having to go down from this Mount of Transfiguration into Samaria, and we all have to. We know so much, and we can be so dead wrong. Here's this choreographer who felt that there had to be expression of a soul possible in spite of mental inability to express. And here, he got a fantastic bunch of youngsters. I don't care if those people were 40 years old, but they were an excited bunch of youngsters, as you saw them there. And he trained them in ballet. And I saw this, and it's a man. Here's a Mongoloid. A man who danced Madame Butterfly. He was totally into the opera, and I heard the woman who had been working with him saying, he does not dance Madame Butterfly, he becomes Madame Butterfly. And I saw it, and I was watching his movements, and I was watching a totally transformed face. It totally took on the inner being of Madame Butterfly. In a way, I mean, I don't usually cry if it means steaming up my glasses, but I was sitting there, I was just really swallowing tears and getting my head up because I couldn't allow myself to wipe my eyes. I was moved to tears. And a whole troupe, and somebody was interviewing them, they went on stage, wondering about stage fright. No, of course not. I just couldn't wait to get on, you know, like little kids. There are some fantastic talents. What on earth makes us think that God has not given a handicapped person, expression that totally compensates for something that we know isn't there. So therefore, we judge. If that isn't the way it should be, then that, or if not A, then neither B or C and D, right? And it's just not true. How much talent do we allow to go undeveloped because we see what we want to see and totally miss seeing what God has put into a person? And sometimes there are people who would have a talent that includes lots and lots of patience in order to develop something which is totally latent in other children. I'm sure you are all aware of this little baby that was handed over to an older couple who was had cerebral palsy. His eyes had been removed at an early age because was there cancer or whatever, and he couldn't speak, and he was totally unteachable, and they were cherishing good music in that house. And one night the woman woke up wondering who had turned on the radio or the record player, and he was sitting there. Of course, he was unable to tell if it was day or night, he couldn't see. But he, with all that it takes to perform a concert, he was sitting there playing. I think it was Brahms, if I'm not mistaken. He had everything missing that in people's judgment makes for a normal, teachable, educational human being. Oh no, there was a lot of soul that was pent up. And once it came out, he not only learned to cry, he learned to express in music what some of us who spend maybe 8 hours a day could never achieve because of the love, the patience, and the stubbornness of a woman who didn't give up. And I heard him on TV, and he is going on a concert tour, not if I'm not mistaken. Who does God say who you are? Over against what people say who you are. Okay, I know our time is just about up. If anybody wants to bring something in right now that's come to you, in the meantime, that may ring a bell with you yourself or somebody around you who needs encouragement, I'd love for you to bring it up.
My sister from Minneapolis and her daughter came up to Hillsborough to visit. Uh-huh. And she said, the daughter's 25, and she said, why don't you teach me how to crochet, Amy? Well, I'm about the world's worst crocheter, but I taught her the fundamental of crocheting, and that girl is making the most glorious afghans now with the finest designs and scarves and caps, mm-hmm. And she just loves it. And she says, you know, Amy, if you hadn't taught me that, and I think, oh boy, I'd call a teacher.
Oh, what's that saying? If everybody would wait to do what he's supposed to until he's perfect, nothing would ever get done? Yeah, see, yeah. There are talents which they don't have to be huge and supersized and world moving. Talents can be tiny. Do you know that it's a talent to smile at a person? It's a talent to even smile at a person. It's a talent to give. Yes.
I work with a group in Seattle called Friend to Friend, and it was started by a man who had worked in the prison on the man-to-man program, and he spent some time in a nursing home, and he had a lot of friends who came to visit him, but he found out a lot of people had nobody. So there's one area in Seattle that has a lot of nursing homes, and the Council of Churches made a survey and found out there were 12,000 people in nursing and retirement homes in King County alone. That's where Seattle is. Mm-hmm. So they had a pilot program in 1974, And it's a one-to-one visitation program, and we recruit people to do it. It is, we've tried to work through the churches where we found our best efforts have paid off best. And from that one group that started, we have a great number of groups in the Seattle area, and it's spread clear across the state. Mm-hmm. And now sometimes we get inquiries from people in other states. Mm-hmm. And it's just recruiting people just to go visit and be a friend. Sometimes they take them shopping, sometimes they just visit with them. Sometimes maybe they do a craft or read to them, or it's really has spread.
And being a friend is also a talent, wouldn't you say?
Pardon?
Being a friend is also
yes,
a talent.
I feel that it is.
Remember the definition of who is a friend? A friend is somebody who accepts me in spite of me. And remains my friend even after all that he or she has heard me tell him. It's a talent to be a friend. Okay, I know our time is just about up, so unless somebody has got some tiny wisdom or some huge wisdom to share, I hope, if you're not leaving tomorrow, I hope to see you tomorrow. Even you're grown up and dare going to those terrible places, it probably aren't so terrible. If you might become a good pool expert.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so too. So let's not lose all our marbles. Let's keep them. Yeah, what else? I think that's a real talent that you discovered. And God gave it to you.
No? This lady has lots of talent.
Last year,
you know, I know a lot of churches make quilts, you know, yes. But we started making quilts, and we have such a joy in getting these quilts, and we pack big boxes to send overseas, and then if there's a family in our neighborhood that needs a quilt, we send it to the family, and it's a real joy to share, and it's just pieces that we get from the people in church, and I'm sure most churches make quilts, but we just started. Mm-hmm. And we just have a real fun. You come as you like and go when you want to and bring your little bag lunch. No meal or anything is necessary.
Mm-hmm. I think Fielding
Margaret started that.
Good. But good for you. I think Fielding is a real talent because it's not putting squares together. You can't put squares together and come up with something just horribly distasteful.
It takes
a talent to find what goes together, a sense of color and a sense of larger design. And I mean, I probably could do it with all sorts of paints and so, but I don't think that I am gifted to use these materials and put them together throwaways and come up with something perfectly lovely that everybody admires once it's on somebody's bed. That is a talent. Mm-hmm. And maybe it starts with sewing dog clothes. Mm-hmm. And that too can be so much discouraged. You're still playing with dolls? Aren't you too old for that? I think we hear that quite a bit, don't we? Don't play with dolls. What's wrong with playing with dolls? One day in many people's lives, dolls are no longer dolls, but living little human beings. It's nice to be able to do something for them, isn't it? Fathers too. Fathers can embroider things, or knit things, or crochet things, even weave. Oh, I know a few men who do marvelous, marvelous weavings. And I mentioned that yesterday, the big, well-known hotels and restaurants, who does their cooking? Mm-hmm. Men! Mm-hmm. Boys shouldn't be in kitchens. Get out, play with Fritzy, play with Jackie, play with those are girls' names too. Play with whoever. Play ball, do something else. And maybe God has given man, the real talent, maybe more than us. I got the joy of cooking knocked out of me too by my children. That again? Yeah, so what else did you discover that came kind of more or less surprised?
I used to paint a little bit on pictures when I was younger in high school, a long time ago, and yesterday I went out with, or the day before, with Rudy's watercolor, and I just loved it. It was terrible, but it was fun. And I'm going to do more watercolor.
Good.
Yeah.
And I'd still like to see the person whose very first attempt is a masterpiece. My mother kept all my drawings from my younger years, even though she was the one who discouraged my continuing, but she had been the one who bragged how good I was. But then I had to stop it because girls don't go into art fields. But when I look at some of my early horses, my goodness, they go flat. They never tried to walk on both legs. But then, there was a time when I worked as a foreign language research librarian and was also in charge of making the posters. Well, that was fun. Until the day that I hit upon the idea I should make a poster about horse stories. And all those very, very strange creatures of my childhood years that were called horses by me came into my mind. I said, oh, good grief, I've never been able to draw a horse. And then came one book that on its jacket had a horse which was, it was a dark background and the horse was another shade of dark, but the outlines were so fantastic and the inner outlines were in white. And somehow that horse, it was a colt actually, stuck in my memory. And with my eyes half closed, I just let my pencil follow what I saw, and to my greatest surprise, that horse which I saw in my mind appeared in perfectly correct lines. And hey, maybe I can do it after all. And I used a different color scheme. I think I used black and dark blue and white. And that horse turned out so well that a few other libraries borrowed that poster. And so some of the things that were given up, oh shucks, my goodness, I'll never manage. Of course not, but as long as we don't give up, and if you practice, and 10 years from now, the Lord not coming in that time, maybe we'd all be back here. You might just be somebody who takes a class out there. Mm. Don't you think that's a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Because to me it's obvious God has given you a talent. The fact that it was buried somewhere in the sand or in the clay or in the mug doesn't... Mug, I made one today. The fact that you may have buried it for a while doesn't eliminate its being there. It's still there. And I can just see you teach others and share with them. You know, another person who is just having a dreadful start, I can just see you put your hand on that person's shoulder and say, you know, my first one didn't look much different from yours. And that person is, he is teaching me now, so if he can help me, maybe there's hope for me. Anytime we follow through something and allow God to become who He wants us to be, we can be such an encouragement to others.
I was just thinking this afternoon, or I guess around lunchtime, I was talking to O.K., I don't know his last name, Omar.
Oh, yes.
Klein. He was saying, he had never done stonework before, and he saw a need when he came here for making those bulkheads up on the, around the kitchen area there.
Yeah.
And just started doing it, you know, and it turned out beautifully.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, that was kind of a one-time thing. I don't imagine it's going on to become the stone layer of the world, but at least he was used of the Lord at that time, recognized the need, and,
yes.
Simply went ahead and used his gift doing that to finish that project.
Right. Does anybody know how Dr. Zeuss became the famous children's storyteller with all these crazy drawings? He was sitting in, I was either in school or university, and while listening to the lectures, or not listening to the lectures, whatever the case may have been, he was drawing figures. And I always remember how he started, because the Bellum Gallicum that we had to study in Latin class, in one of the other classes, had oodles of pussycats there, and airplanes, and I drew, there isn't, if anybody, no, it's not any longer alive anyway, but if anybody ever got that Latin textbook, it was full with all sorts of creatures in the margins. All of my own creation, some quite, well, naturalistic, others just kind of, well, outlines, and others just fairy tale creatures. And so Dr. Zeuss did this, and he must have had a real talent, because people around him saw it and recognized it and encouraged him. And I think he's a medical doctor, isn't he? Does anybody know?
I think so.
I think he's a medical doctor. But this talent got hold of him thanks to somebody encouraging him, that millions of youngsters enjoy the books, and I don't know if he is still writing new books, but by now it's penetrated just about every channel and every TV station. Like the Grinch that stole Christmas, and Green Ham and Eggs. Sam that was dishing up Green Ham and Eggs, and I don't like Green Ham and Eggs. And all these things, I think that it's delightful. Now, what would have happened if somebody would have told him continually, hey, this is difficult enough, are you ever going to pass exams? You know, the last time we had midterms on this, don't you think you better stop it? I mean, we have been millions of kids now who would never have heard or read or seen these delightful stories. And I'm sure that textbooks are not by any professor's opinion ideal places to start drawing all sorts of creatures. But there was a talent that he recognized because he was encouraged, and he became who God wanted him to be.
One thinks of Helen Keller in that regard.
Yes.
A story of encouragement.
Yes. Yeah, I admire that woman just beyond anybody else, I guess, because being able to overcome all those handicaps and out of a state where she was considered just a wild beast, really.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could handle her. What a talent.
And think of all the talents, all the children that are probably subdued because they aren't encouraged.
That gathering of
given nurture.
Ladies for the quilting business every week or just once a month?
Not too long ago. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
I was deeply, deeply impressed. It was sheer accident that I read the TV guide coming home that night, because usually I'm too tired. And I came across this program and I was going to watch it. You know how we discourage Mongoloid children and other physically or mentally handicapped people from doing anything that an almost unteachable child just absolutely couldn't do? And I didn't get into the beginning of this, but a choreographer and his assistant and a few other people became interested in trying to develop the soul of people whose mind didn't function properly. Because, I mean, they are physically maybe not just as normally shaped. Yeah, that's what we think, right?
Yeah.
We think that. But because their bodies aren't exactly like ours, in many cases, they are shorter, chubbier, and they remain childlike. And you look at those faces, and you know something, you know, okay? You know something is missing.